Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 9th of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news, including top Indiana agriculture awards given yesterday and changes to USDA loan programs. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here, too. He says Indiana weather remains dry now for an extended period. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all sold off once again. Market analysis coming from Mike Silver on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana, talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Receiving the state's top ag honor and helping farmers access credit more easily. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch presented the state's highest agricultural honor at the State Fair Thursday during the Celebration of Ag event put on by the Indiana State Department of Agriculture.
The farmer is the one that makes all of this possible.
That's Ed Ebert, Senior Director of Market Development for the Indiana Soybean Alliance and the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, one of this year's recipients of the AgriVision Award.
Both in terms of the checkoff, in terms of how that's funded by farmers, directed by farmers, I think it's, at the end of the day, it gives you that drive to continue to try to serve them.
Ebert goes many, many miles to serve the soybean and corn farmers of Indiana. He's always seeking new markets to move tons of Hoosier-grown soybeans and corn to customers both nearby and around the globe. Ebert tells Hoosier Ag Today that the farmers that go on these trips with him always provide new insights for him with their questions. They are what drive him to continue traveling the world in search of those new markets.
Okay, what does this mean? What is this culture? How is this different than what we saw in another country that I've traveled to? What are the opportunities in terms of those export markets that we can service from Indiana and from U.S. in terms of U.S. products? So, I mean, it's that constant querying and that constant exploration, if you will, of these markets that really, from my perspective, just keeps that drive and that energy going.
In 2023, Ebert and the Checkoff organizations engaged with 31 countries, representing 57% of the world's population and 36% of gross domestic product, to work on projects to move the pile. Ebert explains why he believes Indiana has seen success.
The cooperative effort and work that this state does at all of the top levels of these organizations, in Checkoff, with Purdue University, with the State Department of Ag, all the way up to the Lieutenant Governor's office. The ability for us to work together and communicate across those different areas, I think, is completely unique. And that's definitely unique in terms of how our Checkoff operates, with both corn and soybeans being managed by the same organization. That's totally different than any other Checkoff in the U.S.
That, and of course, the tremendous volunteer farmers that represent the Checkoff organizations. Tune in Monday as we highlight the other AgriVision Award recipient, Purdue University's John Baugh.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
USDA says they're making changes to their loan programs through the Farm Service Agency to help farmers access credit more easily. CJ Miller has the story.
This really signals a new day in ag finance, where FSA is going to position itself as the leader and the example for how our friends in the lending community might consider doing this.
And that's Zach Ducheneau, administrator for USDA's Farm Service Agency. He says the three big changes that they're making to their loan programs are providing more flexible repayment terms, adding more flexible servicing options, and lowering their collateral requirements.
So with this rule, we're announcing that not more than 125% security will be taken in any loans that we make.
USDA's collateral requirement was previously as much as 150% of the loan amount. They're also removing the requirement that those who borrow pledge their primary residence as additional collateral.
In some of our visits around the country, that's been the biggest stressor. Many of them can process, and I took a run at it. Things just didn't work out. I'm not going to be able to be in ag production. Boy, I sure hate that I have to lose grandma's house. We're taking that off the table with this rule. Really a fundamental change to the way we do business.
The FSA's new changes to their farm loan program begin September 25th. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com. And elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A dry forecast window is opening up ahead of us. We can be dry across the Hoosier State, almost all of it, for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. No threat of moisture coming in here at all. In the short term, we're looking at dry and pleasant conditions as humidity values stay low right on into the start of this weekend. But as we go forward, humidity values will creep up likely next week. I don't think they'll get to the oppressive levels that we saw this past week, where, you step outside and your glasses fog up, or you step outside and immediately start to sweat like a pig. Wait a minute, pigs don't sweat. Sweat like a horse. Either way, we're not looking at that, but we are looking at humidity values creeping back up a bit. In the humidity, we might have to look for a hit and miss shower or two around midweek, particularly Tuesday night, early Wednesday down in southwest Indiana. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's a threat. Otherwise, we don't have any well-organized precipitation for the entirety of the 10-day window. It'll probably be the week after next before we see our next frontal boundary come in. Interestingly enough, we have several areas of moisture come together over the upper Midwest or the Missouri Valley, and then they just lose their punch. They lose the moisture as they get here. So it's not for a lack of trying. It's just that we can't support much moisture here coming through. So look for net drying over the next 10 days. And most of you will be telling me by the end of next week that you could really use a rain. Hopefully we'll be able to deliver one shortly thereafter. But right now, just gear up for this dry period. And look at the bright side. At least it's not going to be overwhelmingly hot. It really looks like we've locked up our big heat dome a little farther to the south and west. It will not be a big story here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the Lieutenant Governor is also the State Secretary of Agriculture. This means the new Lieutenant Governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
A sell-off, corn, beans, and wheat back and forth, but ending the session lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have settlements in a moment. First, market analysis. And for that, I chatted with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain at the end of trade. Mike Silver, medalist, joins us, but he is always good as gold, which is why we check in with him even when the Olympics aren't running on Thursdays to catch up on the markets. And corn and soybean markets are struggling to gain any traction. Mike has positioning already begun for next week's August crop report. And if so, what does that say as we tread a little lower?
Well, Andy, first of all, thank you for the introduction. And yes, I believe that positioning ahead of Monday's release of the August crop production and World Outlook Board report has begun. We'll see here how all this plays out with what surprises, if any, USDA has to offer at noon Monday. But yes, I do think that the positioning has started. As I look at where we are right now compared to where we were last Friday, we're not quite down. Well, we're down about 7 cents in September corn, a nickel in December corn. August beans are down 15 cents, and new crop beans are down 16. Wheat's steady to a penny lower than it was last Friday. But, you know, of course, earlier this week, the macro markets were really influencing commodity price action and pushed our grains lower. Now, thank goodness, we have recovered somewhat there. The dollar index is higher today. The Dow is higher, and the S&P 500 is higher, but still issues exist, and there's still concern about the economic impacts and how that ultimately will affect the commodity markets. But I think the focus is starting to kind of zero in on what USDA has to say Monday. We did get reasonable export sales this morning in our weekly export sales report. The corn number, old crop corn, came in at 485,400 metric tons, and that was up from last week's abysmal 167.9. The 24-25 number came in below where we would like to see it, but it was at 249.1, and that was down from last week's 710.9. The bean number for the old crop came in at 325.4. That was within the range of expectations, but it was a little lower than last week's 376.4. The 24-25 number came in at a 985.2, which was a good number. That was actually above the high end of the estimate and better than last week's 32.1 thousand metric tons. The wheat number came in at 274, which was a little lower than last week, but within the range of expectations. Now, let's put that into perspective here. If we look at the corn export sales, we're actually 2% ahead of the pace that we need to be to meet the current USDA balance sheet numbers. In the soybeans, we're actually 2% below where we need to be to meet the current export projections in the USDA balance sheet. And we do expect that USDA, quite possibly Monday, will make some adjustments to those export sales numbers, especially corn. They may jack that up just a little bit and show that and recognize the fact that we're ahead of the pace here, but we do need to maintain that pace to achieve the objective. But we kind of expect USDA, a lot of folks in the trade expect USDA to make some adjustments there. Weather, of course, is very much in play, Andy, and it's going to stay in play the balance of the month of August. But certainly we have to say, as we look at our crop condition ratings and look at some of the crop condition indexes, which look a little deeper into the yield potential, we are seeing that the trade is expecting an increase in our yield projections. The average estimate for the corn yield is 182.1 bushel the acre, and that compares to the last USDA report of 181. But some of these index models actually have a projection for the U.S. corn yield to be even higher than that. So we'll see what USDA has to say about that. But certainly so far in August, the weather has been non-crop threatening. Rains have been adequate for the most part. A few places may be receiving a little more rain than they'd like, but it's hard to drown a crop. But anyway, we look at the soybean number in the last USDA WASDE report. 52 bushel an acre was the estimate. 52.6 is the average trade guess. And again, August weather, as we all know, is definitely a factor in what the final soybean yields are going to be. And for that matter, too, August weather has a big impact on how our corn fill goes, how deep the kernels are, and how that final fill comes on corn. So we are expecting, and the trade is expecting, too, that USDA may make some acreage adjustments in both corn and soybeans. I haven't seen a range of those estimates, but as USDA announced earlier this month, and actually late in July, they were going to take a look at the FSA data, the certified acres. Farmers certified their acreages, had to have that done by July the 15th. They're also going to take a look at some of the RMA, the Risk Management Agency, those folks that have crop insurance, and look at some of those acreage numbers, as well as do a little bit of resurvey work in those parts of the northwestern Corn Belt that were delayed in getting some crops planted when the survey went out for the planted acreage report that came out on June 30th. So we may see some adjustments there in acres, but bottom line is, with these yield increases, and it would take a really significant change in acreage to change, in my opinion, the mentality of the funds who are definitely, some of them have come off their record short positions, but they are still extremely short this market. And so far, they have been right to stay on that side of the market. Now, in that regard, and coming back to my earlier comments a few minutes ago relative to the commodity market versus the macro markets and the equity markets in general, you know, we've talked about this before, Andy, but it's been at least a decade, or maybe even two decades, since commodities have become an asset class. And as global traders look for opportunities to increase their wealth, okay, they look for whatever commodity, whether it's corn, soybeans, wheat, doesn't matter, livestock, whether it's the equity markets, it doesn't matter. And that all has an impact ultimately on what prices do. And certainly economic concerns, geopolitical issues across the globe all have an impact on what our commodity prices are doing. And certainly no one will deny the fact that with multi-year lows here in our commodity prices and new life of contract lows, that certainly all those how many acres did we plant? What is the yield going to be for on those planted acres? Those factors are important. They're still always going to be important, but all these other factors, especially the one that considers commodities as an asset class and how managed money and investment money enters into positions in our commodities market, we can never forget that is a factor that we have to contend with. And that's a bitter pill for a lot of folks to swallow. And a lot of folks say, I wish it wasn't that way. But history has taught us when those funds want to buy, they are our friend and they can elevate prices. But boy, when they want to get on the other side of the coin and sell our commodity markets, that hurts. And certainly there's a world of hurt right now as we visit with folks about where prices are. But Monday at noon, USDA is going to give the latest version of supply and demand and its impact on prices. And it would appear that unless we get a real bullish surprise, that we're probably destined for a continuation of these lower prices, at least for a period of time, until something in this entire mix can change, Andy. So market's going to focus on weather over the weekend. Weather is non-threatening at this point in time, at least for the next couple weeks. And it looks like the extended forecasts even show that we should finish out the month of August in good shape as we fastly approach now harvest 24, which looks like it could be, if it all pans out, some of the best yields that hopefully we've ever seen.
Mike Silver there, Kokomo Grain, and the number is 800-666-0613. Settlements now, September corn on Thursday, 379 and a quarter, a loss of 4 cents, almost 4 cents down on Dease corn, going to 397. September beans, 993 and a half, 11 and three quarters lower. November, 1008 and a quarter, down 10 and a half cents. September wheat quiet at the end, 537 and a half, down 0.75 cents. The meats lower too. October live cattle, 178.02, $1.25 down, and October lean hogs, 73.62, 95 cents off. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.